Ana lifu dunia, mama aveti sushoko madam.
34-year-old South Sudanese singer Okuta Siza Males, popularly known by his stage name Silver X, came to the limelight in 2009, 2 years before the country's independence, when his album Fetish Shokol was released. The phrase Fetish Shokol, which in Arabic means looking for job, is still commonly heard in conversation among South Sudanese across the country and beyond. Silver X says it was meant to highlight the corruption and injustices that take place during the recruitment process for jobs.
Esimtakimono is like, what's your name? Because as a leader in South Sudan, you can easily identify. If I tell you my name, you can know it is from this tribe. Then again, they'll ask you, Gebile Takishunu. Gebile Takim means like, well, what's your tribe? And then another one, they'll ask you, Itajaminuen, as in, where are you coming from? You understand? So barely nobody gets to ask you, as in, you know, your qualification.
10 years after independence, voices advocating for good governance, ranging from politicians to activists to musicians, continue to complain about a lack of space to exercise their rights. Several voices blame the Sudan People's Liberation Movement, the main party in the country's unity government, for not doing much to end autocratic rule in South Sudan. Freedom of expression on governance issues is enshrined in the 2012 Political Parties Act, as well as the country's transitional constitution. Despite these legal provisions, members of opposition political parties say they are restricted from expressing their political views on governance, corruption, and other matters affecting the country. Albino Akol Attack, a senior member of the African National Congress, or ANC party, says the government's various security apparatus does not allow opposition politicians to disseminate their party's views. He points out that parties are not allowed to hold political rallies, just like it was before South Sudan gained independence.
As a political party, I'm not getting enough space. Let's say, if I'm now trying to conduct, a public rally, the authorities will come in. Everybody would want me to get permission from it. And this permission is even restricted. I will be asked, what are you going to present in this public rally? Then people will start looking at the topic. If these topics are contrary to what they believe, then I will not be, given that permission to conduct a public rally.
In a report released earlier this year, Human Rights Watch documented a number of incidents carried out by National Security Service officers that included the detention of Moses Mandey, director of the Organization for Nonviolence. Mandey was detained because his organization erected billboards that demanded financial transparency in government spending. The report also said security officers detained a political activist identified as Kanybile Noon and held him without charge for 117 days. It said Noon was released on condition that he stops criticizing the government. Researchers and many South Sudanese have blamed the Sudan People's Liberation Movement, or SPLM Party, for perpetuating autocracy. South Sudan's years-long conflict began in the capital Juba over a power struggle within the SPLM party. The fighting quickly spread to other parts of the country, leading to instability and a devastated economy. Deng Mading is the acting SPLM information secretary and a spokesperson. Although he admitted that the leadership of the SPLM plunged the country into conflict, leading to the current state of affairs, he does not believe the ruling party as a whole is to blame for South Sudan's problems.
When we come to the behaviors of the SPLM individuals, this is just where you can just squarely accuse some individuals within the SPLM by violating the constitution itself within the SPLM, which caused a conflict within the SPLM itself, rank and file. Therefore, I will argue that the individuals' behaviors within the SPLM brought a problem into SPLM as an institution. But the SPLM as the institution, on the other side of the argument, is still like it was in 1983.
Mading says among various factors, in South Sudan there has always been the underlying problem of people being more loyal to their community than their country.
People are accounted for. That was why there was war. Let us say, for example, in 1991, the first rebel with the SPLM, there was war. People fought. And that is what I told you, South Sudan fell into four traps. One of the traps is ethnic conflict. So people sought and come back to their ethnic people, tribe, to support them. So the accountability is there always.
Boboya Jimmy is a policy analyst at the Juba-based Institute for Social Policy and Research, says a lack of political maturity within the SPLM in understanding political, democratic and governance processes led to the current state of affairs in the country. As the ruling party that came into government for the first time following a rebellion, Jimmy says the SPLM knew little about how to establish functioning government structures, and as a result, few of its self-styled members knew how to take advantage of the vacuum within the party to form a strong democratic government.
Then individuals who are actually the leaders within the SPLM took that as an advantage to begin doing things in South Sudan the way they would like. And one of the issues that I have been talking to many people previously is that if we have leaders who do not understand the democratic rule of law and governance process within a party, such leaders cannot even be able to introduce some of those processes within a government or a governance processes within, you know, in the government, for example. So
James says the SPLM party does not have clear, strong policies that commit its members to the party. He says there is no permanent system that holistically addresses challenges within the party, such as ensuring proper discipline and accountability of individuals.
For example, we have, like, you know, at the state level, we have these SPLM structures that once you become a governor of a state, then therefore you become the chairperson of the SPLM. Once you become the commissioner of a county, then you become the chairperson of the SPLM. So some of these processes do not actually provide, you know, head of departments within the SPLM to have a permanent, you know, personnel that could begin increasing accountability process in that sense. So there's a lot of transition, there's a lot of ambiguity, there's a lot of illegality within the SPLM itself, and those factors actually led to lack of accountability in terms of the cadres or the members of SPLM holding their leaders accountable.
In an effort to ensure freedoms and a good governance, Mading says the SPLM has committed itself to implementing the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement.
You are going to have a period of going for the election. After the election now, people of South Sudan will judge, because you need to give people of South Sudan a voice and then make your government to be legitimate. Once, because they are a referee, once they say, SPLM, now we voted you in, then we will have a social contract. Where now, anybody, and we are controlling the government, where everybody must be accountable.
Attack says South Sudanese have no option other than to reach a truce. He says the country's leaders should adhere to what they have already agreed to in the peace deal and move forward.
Let us always do what we have agreed. What we have agreed is this agreement. Let us implement it as it is. And we don't deviate from what we have already agreed. If we do it, at the end of the day, we will find ourselves that there is a fundamental issues that we have already addressed, including the root causes.
South Sudanese youth rights activist Wani Stephen Elias from Africa Democracy and Resilience Network says citizens have the right to express themselves on how their country is to be governed. As South Sudanese mark their 10th independence anniversary, Silver X says it should mark a new beginning for the country.
I wish everyone really good luck, and may this 10th anniversary bring us peace, love, unity, you know, and freedom, and really good security. And just like, you, let me say, reboot a computer when it's tired and you cannot type. So first you reboot it, like, or you restart it. And then when it starts, like, comes back fresh. Let's hope like this 10 years, like, becomes like a restarting point for us to reflect everything that we did in the past, good or bad, and then put a possible way forward that will help every citizen in this country.
The United Nations, the African Union, and the Troika countries of the United States, the United Kingdom, and Norway and others in the international community have stated that South Sudan's leaders should hold the elections at the end of the transitional period as stipulated in the revitalized peace agreement so as to start to put the country on a permanent democratic path. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.